once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from Mexico. Yes, I indeed am in a different place, different time. Close to the ocean, that's what you hear in the background. So either forgive or enjoy the background noise, whichever applies. And hey, just wanted to say hi from the road, and just wanted to greet you guys all and let you know all is well, and thinking about you, praying for you guys as well. You know, we're living in an interesting time, and I see it kind of as I get out and as I move around even more and more. I just continue to see again and again, you know, life. People all over the world, they share some amazing similarities that, you know, the world tries to always continue to bring division and anger and resentment between people. People seem to criticize what they don't understand or what they don't know. But the moment that they, you know, are exposed and they realize things really are a little different than what they expected, it changes the dynamic. But the world seeks to keep people apart and then stir up animosity between each other. You know, I remember from my Pentecostal days as such, you know, it's amazing as with the denominations. You know, there's over 30,000 different denominations in the world. 30,000 plus. And they cannot tell you what is different about them compared to somebody else, and why they split and why they splintered. So, it's incredible. But yet, you know, they just know that they're the ones going to heaven. They're the ones that have the right thing. They're the ones that, you know, they have the spirit. They have the, you know, I mean, it's amazing, you know, how people set things up, and they set up structures, then they have to build them, then they have to maintain them, and then they all have to buy into it. And if you question it, if you say that the emperor has no clothes and that he's naked, now you're the bad guy. Now you're the one with the problem. You know, people like you as long as you give them a pass on what they're doing. You don't have a standard. And as long as you're not one of God's. Oh, if you're a child of light and truth, yeah, they'll smile in your face, but they'll stab you in your back. And you know, that's just the way it is. That's just the dynamic. That's just the paradigm. That light and dark exist in this world at the same time. And the children of light, the very fact of your existence, the very fact that Christ shines through you, is something that those that live in darkness don't want. They don't want it around. They don't want to deal with the reality of what that is. So, you know, it's something that, you know, if you just settle into the fact that this is the way the world is, then you can adjust for the reality of what you have to deal with and face while you're here in this life. So, and realize too, there's certain things that as long as the world is turning, it's not going to change. You know, ultimately, the fact of the matter is, when people go on into eternity, they go exactly where they've chosen to go. Now, this is very important, because you know, sometimes I've heard some people that don't know any better, you know, they'll say things like, well, you know, how can a loving God send someone to hell? How can he be so loving and be yada yada? Okay, no, look, God doesn't send people as such. People choose it. And God honors their free will and their choice, and they get the eternal ramifications of their choice. So if they've chosen light and truth and the will of God and to be a blessing to others as with whatever it is that's in their hand, they get the eternal ramifications of that choice. And if they've chosen to be evil, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to murder, to commit adultery, to what you go down that list, well, it's not about the acts, it's about the state of being in their heart, that which is within. And for whatever it is that which is within, it manifests externally in this lifetime. But ultimately, when somebody dies, they go on into the eternal manifestation of who they are. So that which is within comes without. What's the way maybe to try it? Okay, so say like a banana. Have you ever eaten a banana? Well, you know, the banana is, you know, you've got that the skin of the banana, that shell that banana is in, until the time comes that you eat it. And then when you peel it, that's when you see what's inside. So when you peel a banana, that's when you realize, oh wow, it's bruised inside, or it's, you see, or it's in good shape. You see that when you peel the thing. Maybe not the best example, but you understand. When we pass from this life, when we go from this world on to the next, what ends up happening is the true person that's within comes without. So the true person that's inside, that person emerges. That's why, you know, so much of the Hollywood stuff is so ridiculous. Because, look, most of those people in that scene have been piecemealed together, plastic surgeon together, Botox together. I mean, just... They're held together by glue to try to keep the external look in a particular way. You know, I mean, you know, Demi Moore, Madonna, you know, Grandma, put it away. I mean, it's just, they keep $500,000, $1 million plastic surgery every year. But the thing is that of course, age, you're not going to, every appointed unto every person is a time to die, and after that the judgment. So every person, you know, goes that way, and you can try to piecemeal the external, but the byproduct of it is that it's what's within that counts. Okay, what did Jesus say along these lines? He, to the Pharisees, he said, look, you're like, to the Pharisees he was talking, he said, you're like whitewashed sepulchres. You're like, basically, you're like whitewashed tombs. You know, outside you look good. On the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. That which is within is disgusting, is putrid, is rotten, is the death and the decay of those that you've slaughtered that have come before. He said, in talking about the washing of dishes and cups, he said, look, you know, you're inside, same guys, full of greed, wickedness, all kinds of stuff. He said, first clean the inside of the cup, and then that's the priority. That which is within needs to be dealt with. The only one that has power to clean that which is within and to make it right is the Spirit of the Living God. So when you turn your life over to the Spirit of the Living God, He then works with you on that. He then begins a process in you. You know, it's a process of freedom. It's a process of discovery. It's an amazing adventure without, that also manifests, you know, but it comes from within. So, you know, one of the issues that we end up having so often is people go by the external. You know, people go by what they can see, touch, feel, what they can try to control. And, you know, I've got some wonderful, wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ You know, but we have some discussions along this line because, you know, when we talk about the church and what church is and what church is not. See, that's the thing. What church is not. If you look, Jesus came that we might be free. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Anything less than the truth of what he came that we might have, anything less than that, you don't want. I don't. Okay, look, I don't want. And so I really want to know then what is true, what is right, what is real. What is him and what is not him? You know, when Jesus came into this world, he didn't set up a denomination. And you know, there's a lot of people that try to own God, but he doesn't own them. See, he is master. He is Lord. And most of the structures, what they've done is they've tried to flip it. They've said, no. We're the master, and Jesus is part of our agenda. You know, yeah, he gets a big high spot, but he's part of our agenda and part of our means to accomplish our own worldly ends. You know, I think too, it gets hard for people when they've invested so much of their life, their time, their energy in that which subsequently you find out to be a lie. Because now they don't want to turn on that. They don't want to let that go. You know, what would you... You know, my buddy Pat and I, we talked about this years ago. Just one time when he was over at my place, back in the States. And the question we asked was, we said, you know, if everything that you believed... Everything that you believe, if everything you believe about God was different than what you thought it was, would you change? If everything that you believe was not true, would you change? Would you let go of, would you let go of what it is that you thought you knew for what it is that's real? And, you know, as we discussed back in those days, we're like, yeah, you know, we would. We want that. We want the truth above all. And a truth seeker wants that. A truth seeker always goes for that. A truth seeker says, you know what? I don't care how painful it might be to myself right now at this stage, but I would much rather know the truth and deal with the reality of that truth than to live in a lie and to live in a deception. Worlders choose a lie. And sometimes the truth is very hard for people to accept. You know, there's a lot of people making high-level political decisions in the world right now. And the facts that they know, they themselves make the decision for you, saying, oh, the people, they couldn't handle this truth. They couldn't handle to know what's really going on. If they did, they would freak out. The stock markets would crash. They would hoard supplies. They would do all... They make decisions for you and so choose to give you a lie because they feel that if you knew the truth, you would then react in a way that is... So they give you a lie based on what they claim is the greater good of society. Oh, that's bullshit. If you give people the truth and they have been trained in the way of the Lord and trained to make a choice and a decision for themselves that is in line with godliness, you can tell them the truth. You can tell them what's real and they will respect it, they will honor it, they will walk with it. But when you've raised up a nation of selfish people, when you've raised up a nation of self-serving people that don't know what to do, that are used to lies, that live on lies, yeah, of course, those guys, well, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do when you need need the truth to be able to make anything, to make a decision? You know, when you only have lies to work with, you can't actually make a proper decision. You can't go forward. It's funny. I never, ever watch some of these TV daytime programs in the States, obviously because I don't live in the States. But, you know, and I wouldn't do it if I was there. But I was on the plane. I was flying over. And on this last leg of the journey, there was one of these guys who's sort of a daytime sort of pop psychologist, and he had this couple that was, you know, on his show, and they were having an issue about, you know, separation that they were going through, and one of them was saying one thing, the other one was saying something completely different, and both of them were adamant that they were the ones telling the truth. And he got to a certain spot where he was like, look, I can't, he said, I can't, now this is a worlder, this is a secular person, this is a person that does not know God. But he was saying, I can't help this go any further without, you know, an agreement of what the truth is in this situation. Why? Because, and why would he say something like that? And why would he need, you know, those people to agree on a set of events and what happened? Well, because without that, you have no basis to go forward. See, the worlders, the demons, all of that, they position themselves off of the truth. They first have to take the truth and then twist that which is true to create their lie. It all relates back to the truth. It all comes back to Jesus. So even, you know, even their deceptions, they've got to relate these things to a lie to begin with. You know, right now in front of me, I see a rainbow. It's just beautiful. Gosh, I wish I could show you guys some of the things I see sometimes. Rainbow in the sky, natural manifestation. Remembering God's promise and the covenant that He made with Noah. Oh, wow. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, but yeah, you know, we see what happens with the world, and this is one of the places that they get themselves in trouble, because evil destroys itself over time. Just give it a little while. The wages of sin is death. You give it a little while, they all destroy themselves. But that said, they need to know the truth for themselves to be able to make a decision. You can't go into battle, wage wars, without good information. You have to have good information. They pay for military. There's Central Intelligence Agency. They have an entire agency for intelligence. Now, I don't know how... Never mind. I'm not going to make any jokes about these guys because... But it's just point being that people want to know, need to have some understanding of what's actually going on. But what's ironic is the world continues to take that which is... Once they understand, to take that which is true and then to twist it right away into something that is not good, is not right, hurts people, harms people. You know, the media does it, advertising does it. They don't have to. There's godly ways to go forward with this stuff. But there is a demonic upswing at this stage with the powers of darkness making a very strong push. And as they push, they come with all of the garbage that they're accustomed to. Part of that being lies. part of that being the deceptions, part of that being the trickery, the guile, the anger, the jealousy, the resentment that they build between people. So, it is an interesting thing. You know, there is, you know, as much as the worlders hate the truth, they need the truth. And this is also why it's important that we live it. Because there are those that would like to come clean. There are those that would like to get out of the game. There are those that would, you know, as time goes on, they see the life of God in you. And when they see the life of God in you, they know that something could be different. They need you to hold the course. Because you holding the course, you holding the line, gives them the hope and the chance that something could be different. You are that ambassador of Christ. You are that witness in this paradigm for those that are yet to come. Those that would turn. Those that would get right with Him. And you're also a witness to those that have chosen that path, the wrong way, the wrong path. You're a witness that they chose wrong. And they made that wrong decision. And you're a living example that they did not have to go the way of the world. They could have gone the way of Christ, and it would have been all right. He would have taken care of them. He would have been true to His promise. He would have watched over them. He would have led them out. He would have made a way for them. So, no, think of the thief on the cross. You know, even that last minute. You know what's amazing is one guy got it and the other guy didn't. You know, one guy in that last hours of his life realized that Christ Jesus was the Messiah, was the Savior. And he gave his allegiance, gave his heart to Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus didn't forget that man. Jesus remembered a heart that would turn to Him if he just saw, if he just knew, if he just had the revelation of who Christ Jesus was, that He was His. And you're part of that. You're part of that witness in the earth. You need to be that. Unashamedly, point blank, you just need to be who God made you to be. A living manifestation of that. That does not mean to go to the building on Sunday. See, this is where they twist it once again. No, that means that the Spirit of God lives in you. You turn yourself 100% over to God's Spirit. You let Him have His way in and through you. You do whatever it is that He tells you to do, not what man tells you to do. And you let the chips fall where they lie. So whatever you do today is whatever you do as God leads you to do it today. You don't worry about tomorrow. Whatever He leads you to do tomorrow, you do it tomorrow. Fine. Done. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that. It doesn't have to be... you don't have to figure it out any more than that. If you need examples, just look in nature and look at what God's creation does. Look at the birds. Watch the way that they live. God can supply and provide for you. He can take care of you. He can watch over every need that you have. If you trust Him, He'll do it. You know, it's amazing to me the things that God has allowed me to do in this short life of mine thus far. And I look at it, I have lived a life that exceeds what most people dream of. But it came, it was not, you know, the world can't even conceive of a life like this. But Jesus Christ, I mean, they try to make videos and movies about the life that God's allowed me to live, and they still are not even close enough. I live a better life than so many of these things that people try to put out there. But, you know, for me, I look and I just get a chuckle out of it, because all I wanted was to follow Christ. That was it. I said, Lord, whatever it is, it's up to you. But I know that you came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. So Lord, whatever that abundant life is, whatever the maximum life is, according to you, not according to me, not according to my standard, not according to my thinking, to what it is that I would choose for myself, but Lord, you choose, you decide, whatever it is that you say life is, that's what it is that I go with. That's what it is that I choose. That's what it is that I allow you, and I turn myself over completely to you, for you to do that in and through me. That's the heart direction. Allow God to put that path there for you. And then once you've done that, you've opened yourself up now for life to be real. But you know what most people do is they say, okay, here's what I want in life. I want now, I want to get my schooling. I want to get a nice, buy a nice house, I want to get married and have this perfect wife, perfect husband, have my children. Basically, it's like, you know, they create this world in their mind, and then they want now, that's what they want from God. They want God to fulfill the agenda they've created, and they've been fed by the world. They've been fed that agenda by the world. You know, I see God leading so often people in and through different things, even work-wise, business-wise. You know, there's a lot of people that God led them to do things that were contrary to business principles at the time that they might... I mean, as far as like, you know, there's universal ones that you need to follow, of course. You know, don't spend more than you earn. I mean, you know, try to keep... stay in the black. Yeah, of course. But as far as like some different things and things that they would get into... But he was leading them. And in the process of leading them, he led them in a way that they were not quite, you know, but they trusted him. They trusted him, and now they're in a place where they're benefiting from that trust. Whereas those that did exactly what the world told them to do, look, the thief comes not but for to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy in John 10. What they do, and what the worlders do, is, you know, they set you up for a fall. They set you up for a fall. So there's a reason why when you go to college, they will give you a credit card and give you some M&Ms to take that credit card. Or give you a couple t-shirts to take that credit card. That credit card's got a $600 limit on it, so you can't do much with it. But as soon as you have it, now they've got you, because you can't pay it off. They give you just enough to now enslave you. The borrower is servant to the lender. You want to take it up a notch? Go to housing. People try to buy a house. Mortgage I think somebody said this to me one time, that the root words for the word mortgage literally means death grip. So yeah, there you go. You know, but people... Look, sure, you want to own a house? Great. Is that what God has for you? If that's what God has for you, go for it. If that isn't what God has for you, then don't touch it. Simple. Every decision you need to make, take it before the Father. Every choice that you need to make, put it before Him. Ask Him, Lord, what do you think of this? Which way do I go? Should I try this? Is this something you're leading me into? If not, Lord God, show me the way that you'd have me to go. Simple. Simple. Very, very simple. But you know what happens too? People confuse themselves. Because God will be leading them in a particular way. And then they'll want to ask everybody else's opinion on the decision that God already told them what to do. Now, you got to understand, when you ask people's opinion, unless people are on the same track, and even then, even when they're on the same track, God spoke something to you. Because the way the Spirit of God manifests through even your friend that loves God, that's going on a particular direction with Him, He manifests Himself through that person differently. So, you know, you've got to be true to God's instructions to you. The key is in the very core of your being, the very depth of who you are, is what you want truth, is what you want God, is what you want Jesus Christ, is what you want His life flowing through yours, nothing separating you and Him. If that's what you want, that's what you'll have, and He'll find the way to make that known in and through you. If that's not what you want, you're not going to have it. And you can deceive yourself. You can lie to yourself. You can get 100 people to tell you exactly what you want to hear. But you will go the wrong way. I mean, who was validating Jeremiah? I've been reading Jeremiah recently. You know, who was validating Jeremiah? When he was speaking what God told him to speak, everybody around him was telling him to shut up, to stop talking. They didn't want to hear it. But for him, he had to put out what it was that God told him to put out. And yet, when these guys' lives are done, that's when they celebrate their existence and they call them prophets and they look back and they're like, oh wow, this guy actually did speak for God. Whoa. But in the middle of it, like Jesus said, which of the prophets did your forefathers not kill? And yet you're the guys that build their tombs. So you testify that you're the descendants of the guys that kill the prophets. But, you know, we... Look, for us, keep it simple. Do what it is that the Spirit of God leads you to do. Do it on a daily basis. Do it on a moment-to-moment basis. Turn away from sin. And sin is whatever it is that God tells you it is. Read your Word. Listen to the Spirit. Follow Him in that. Because there's a lot of guys that have created all sorts of things, man-made lists of do's and don'ts that have zero to do with what it is that's sin in God's sight. And so you try to follow that whole list, you'll tie yourself up in knots. You won't ever live. You won't ever experience anything. You won't know anything. Look, just do what God tells you to do. If the Spirit of God quickens you, turn away. If the Spirit of God tells you it's okay, keep going. He'll tell you. If you love Him, if you want Him, if you want that truth, He will speak to you. Oh gosh, He's spoken to me so many times. And in the times that He speaks to your spirit, that still small voice, just listen, just obey. And if you've screwed up, if you messed up, repent, get right, and then keep going. But forget the lists of man's lists of do's and don'ts. You know, I think about it too. Like there was some things, like even activities with some work that I did over the last few years. 3 years in a row, there was a certain event that God had me to be a part of. And then this last year, it was a no. It was, don't do that. Even though in the natural, the door would have been open for me. But in the realm of spirit, no. Now, had I not done that event the three times before that I was supposed to, had I not done it and God wanted me to do it, that would have been wrong. And this last time, had I done it and God not wanted me to do it, that would have been wrong again. Now, somebody looking on the natural wouldn't know, wouldn't understand. But somebody seeing on the realm of spirit understands that this is basically just obedience to the will of God. Wherever it is that God wants you to be, that's where you be. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, that's what you do. It's not about the externals. So yeah, you know, and there's some universal principles too. Look, you know, if you get wrapped up in the carnal based reality, you know, it's gonna make it harder for you. So focus, go within, go with the spirit. You know, to my young brothers out there starting up, hey, look, abstinence, my brothers, you know, ask the Spirit of God, He'll help you, He'll strengthen you. But walk right, walk clean. You know, your body is the temple of the Spirit of the living God. Let Him create an environment in your physical being that the Spirit of God enjoys to dwell in. You can cultivate this in your life. On all aspects of who you are, you can cultivate this. You can cultivate this in your mind, you can cultivate this in your flesh, you can cultivate this in your entire being. Now look, the flesh, you're always going to have an inclination, because it's fallen in your flesh towards something that'll pull you away. That's why you have to beat your body, make it your slave. You know, I continue to advocate, hey, exercise, get out there. You know, learn to discipline your flesh. Put that energy that the flesh has, put it into something that will strengthen you rather than cripple you. Make your physical being, as much as it is possible, up to you, make it your asset and not a liability. You know, find that balance in what you do and how you do it. So yes, you know, all is good in Christ Jesus. You don't got to worry about a thing in Him. Just do what it is that God has for you to do. Trust Him, you guys. And know that wherever it is that God sends you, He's got purpose in what you're doing. And you just want to be in step with Him. So yes. Hey, Mexico is beautiful. Mexico is an amazing, amazing country. Very glad that I've had the chance to see this place in this time. And so, yes, I will get the chance to send this across. We'll send it across. Love you guys. Hey, write in when you get the chance. Say hi. It's probably going to be, you know, a little bit longer till I can get back into a groove. Back in wherever it is that I end up next. But know that I'm praying for you, that that God's people are strong. We are. You know, we're coming into an amazing time as the body of Christ in the earth. So do what you can to prepare yourself in the natural, in the realm of spirit. Prepare your mind and your heart, and then go with it. Just go with it. Trust God. He knows what He's doing with you. So, all right. Hey, love you guys. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. And love you guys. All right, we'll catch up again soon. God bless you. Talk to you later. Bye.